time for the weekend kickoff with Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Ballpark Frank, and Big T Terrence. Start your weekend off with all the news on the gridiron, in the cage, and the ring, and anywhere else that sports is happening. The weekend kickoff is brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, number one for all your nutrition and supplement needs, with multiple locations around the valley to serve you better. Now, here are the guys to kick off your weekend on ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM.
And good Saturday morning. Once again, it is time for the weekend kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you each and every week by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Ballpark Frank Harnish, Phil Devine, and Armando Vasquez in. Big T out, making money again. Armando just barely in. What a charmed life this guy leads, Phil.
He certainly does.
Travels all over the place, never pays for anything.
Keep it down.
Hangs out at work, but from a you'd say doesn't really do much over there.
Yeah, he holds up the wall.
You know, I mean,
control your envy,
as tired gentlemen. As today, he might be knocking down the wall.
No, you know what? Listen,
a wall's coming down soon.
I am surprised that we did see Armando get up and get here this early. He spent the week at Disney, had a good time, obviously. Disney Universal, did a little park hopping all week, you know. Yeah, you're right. He actually does live quite a charmed life.
You guys are talking way too loud right now.
Well, so did you enjoy yourself?
I did.
Was it worth it?
My children enjoyed it immensely, which is all. Which is the only thing that's important.
So that means you didn't spend much time with them.
Unfortunately, like, no. In an amusement park, you got to spend all your time with them.
That's really not nice. Wow. Unfortunately,
that is a huge, huge, you know, something being said for Disneyland there, that his children spent time with him and they still enjoyed themselves.
This guy clearly must be the happiest place on earth.
Oh, exactly.
Wow.
It's amazing what Mickey shape, you know.
Now, did you see? Did you go on the ride that they're getting rid of here, or something like that? Aren't they getting rid of something here soon?
My older children did. Yes.
What are they getting rid of?
They're changing the Tower of Terror.
That's not in Disney, though. Isn't
that's
that
a California?
That's in California Adventure. What are they doing with it?
They're changing the profile. It's becoming part of the a Guardian of the Galaxy ride.
Yeah, it's something new that they're doing, but they're shutting down the thing that people have known for years and years or whatever. So
interesting. Okay,
I'll have to show you the picture later of the kids. They just freaked out when they're coming down. It's funny.
Now, you got back Thursday night. Did you get to see any of the Thursday night football game?
I heard it on the radio on the way back.
Well, Frank, you saw it.
Yes.
What did you think of the game itself?
I thought Mike Nugent was getting a lot of field goal practice.
Right? They are.
Who had him in fantasy?
I was flashing back to, he used to kick for Ohio State like that many, many years ago. But, and they were driving the ball all over the place. If I'm a Cincinnati fan, the one thing I'm concerned of is, why didn't we punch more of them in the end zone? But still, they completely dominated
them. That seems to be their issue this year, too. It's like they are amazing between the 20s.
Yeah, the red zone becomes the dead zone.
Yeah, absolutely does. I mean, you found last week they had no problem. Hill made it in there twice against Denver. They actually looked pretty good against Denver, lost the game, but they were actually able to punch it in the end zone in that game. But, I mean, one touchdown. And, I mean, it's you got to look at that offense, and after the other night, Hill, Bernard, I mean, you got a good backfield right there, but it's the A.J. Green show.
Oh, without a doubt.
It's the A.J. Green show in Cincinnati.
I'm just still not convinced. And again, they're a playoff team every year, and they're one of the best teams in their division. I'm just not convinced that Andy Dalton is the kind of quarterback that can get it done three or four games in the playoffs to get them all the way.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And clearly somebody who's not the quarterback everyone was hoping they would be is Miami, because – I mean, we had Alex Dono on last week from Miami Radio. He covers the Dolphins, covers the Hurricanes. And, I mean, they know down in Miami that he might not be the guy that's going to lead them to the promised land.
And that's why I asked him that question, because Tannehill, when he came out, he's got such a big upside. You know, he hasn't been playing quarterback that long. He's a former receiver. Well, maybe the more you see him, maybe there's a reason some other coaches didn't have him play quarterback before that. With Ben Roethlisberger, when he was in high school and didn't play quarterback, you knew the reason, because the coach's son was the quarterback. So Roethlisberger didn't play until his senior year. That's understandable. Tannehill, well, he was a wide receiver. Maybe there's a reason for it. Maybe he's better catching and running with the ball, kind of like Terrell Pryor, than he is actually being a quarterback.
Well, we'll get to that later. Wow. Man, Terrell Pryor, was if you had him on your fantasy last week, and I think actually Terrell Pryor real quickly was the first guy since was it Gifford who's had receiving – passing, rushing yards, all like with the numbers that he put up last week. That was impressive.
And the whole time he was at Ohio State, all I said was, this guy needs to be a wide receiver. Then when he came into the NFL, I'm like, why are they trying to make him a quarterback? He's got no touch, but he's gigantic. He runs like the wind. He's smooth, and he's got big hands, so you figure he can catch the ball. He should have been a wide receiver right from the start.
I agree with you on that. But back to Tannehill. I mean, if you look at his stats the other night, he went 15 for 25, 189 yards, one touchdown, one interception, sacked five times. And then if you look at A.J. Green.
And this
Green,
from a guy who's mobile and can run around
right,
a little
yeah.
bit. Could you imagine if he had the mobility of Peyton Manning or something? He'd have been sacked 15 times.
Oh, it would have been really. He probably would have been taken out of the game. He would have been probably murdered on the field. But in comparison, A.J. Green alone had 10 catches for 173 yards. So he almost outperformed Tannehill by himself.
Is that a moral victory for Tannehill that he passed for more yards than A.J. Green caught on the other side?
I don't know, but man, Miami's bad.
In his defense, he needs a little help. I mean, he needs a running game. He needs somebody to take care of his backside a little more.
I mean, if you're right about that. With a running game, I mean, they are a running back by committee. And who do you got? You got Arian Foster, Jay Ajayi.
Jay Ajayi, who's not, his head is not on straight.
Kenyon Drake, who's rookie, who's starting now. So, I mean, it's like, yeah, you got to get your ducks in a row there.
Yeah,
they're not looking good.
Definitely.
They're not looking good at all.
No, in fact, they're looking very bad.
And like we talked before we went on the air, Frank, there are a lot of bad teams.
Yes, my team might be the worst in the NFL.
I don't know. Have you seen my Saints defense? Because they have no one else in New Orleans.
Yes, he's coming around. Yes.
You know what? I have to be honest with you. I'm watching that game, okay? And I'm watching both teams march up and down the field, up and down the field. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I know how good Drew Brees is. How good does he look in practice against this defense?
Oh, my goodness. It's got to be.
He must throw for 500 yards every practice, and then they break for half.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Drew Brees, surefire Hall of Famer. But that Saints defense,
Monday was so much fun, Frank. You should have seen us.
Armando terrorized me. Now, I give Armando a lot of guff on the air, so he thought it would be smart.
And off the air.
Yeah. Oh, well, off the air. I mean, that's just it's life.
Well,
reality.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
But
and we don't have to use a 7-second delay when you're off the air.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's free. It's free to say whatever I want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it usually, most words I can't repeat at the dinner table.
Yeah, yeah.
But he let me have it. He let me have it. On Monday night.
But I was like just terrorizing him. And then it became no fun because
I turned the game off.
He just turned the game off.
Game off. Why respond to any more text messages? Because I'm not watching the game. When Breeze threw the interception that was returned for a pick six, that I turned the game off. There's no point. That was just, why aggravate myself anymore? I flipped it to Monday Night Raw.
Well, you know,
that's
what I
did.
I have the remote that I do at Hustler Club on Monday night. And all I was thinking was, in week two, when the Bears were on against the Eagles, against a rookie quarterback. By the way, the Bears have made back-to-back rookie quarterbacks look like potential Hall of Famers. But as I'm watching that game, the whole time I'm sitting there, all I'm thinking of is, thank God it's over after week two. We're not on again. I don't have to be back here for this. And just have everybody's coming up, they're like, well, you must be in a really bad mood. It's like, no, I kind of expected it. I mean, I told you how bad they were going to be, but did I know they're going to be this bad? Well, no. I mean, as bad as they are, and then to lose six players on the defense that start, well, you're going to be even worse. But I was just glad it was over. And maybe you were feeling that way Monday night too. Going, well, at least we're not back on Monday night.
Oh no, it was
for a
over.
While.
No, you see, the thing is no, it has nothing to do with the Monday night. It's just I. My day is ruined when the Saints play like that. Like, it's ruined. And, you know, first game, I was like, you know what? I'm seeing some improvements here. I'm all right with the way the defense actually looked. They stopped the Raiders on, like, five consecutive drives. I was pretty excited. And then second week, look at that. They kept the Giants out of the end zone. That defense kept the Giants out of the end zone. It was a field goal game. They had one touchdown, the Giants, and that was off of the blocked field goal. Like, this is looking good.
Hey, Frank.
And then week three comes along, and it's just like, my goodness, that is a Pee-wee Football League defense playing in the NFL.
Hey, Frank, Drew Brees is leading the passing in NFL, just to let you know.
See, Drew Brees, a surefire Hall of Famer.
Right.
And what Armando is doing right now is he's throwing back the one positive thing I looked at. on Tuesday, say, you know what? Drew Brees still leading the NFL in passing yards. Still doing what he should do. But that defense. And, you know, last year we blamed it on Rex Ryan's brother, Rob Ryan, who, you know, now he's up in Buffalo, who is, from what I understand, not doing the play calling at all. So,
And when Buffalo has a really bad defensive game, at least they got a game plan. They fire the offensive coordinator.
Exactly.
Hey, they got him a win last week.
It's been a crazy week. It surely has. It's been a fun week as well with a lot of UFC stuff. It's been a bittersweet week. It's also been a very sad week. We will get into that a little bit later about the news about Josh Simon. Still nothing in yet, but I hope he is doing well, and we will talk about that a little bit later. He's going through some things right now. But UFC last weekend, Armando was a little upset coming out of watching the Roy Nelson fight. Now, for those people who hadn't watched it yet or didn't get a chance to see it, Roy Nelson fought Bigfoot Silva down in Brazil last week. Bigfoot Silva, Roy Nelson, they are friendly outside of the cage. You know,
practice together.
They're friends, you know. Yeah. Inside the cage, you know, business is business. Well, Roy knocked out Bigfoot, felt he had to put on a little too much damage, continue striking, and kicked Big John McCarthy afterwards. Actually went as far as, it was like,
I think he pushed him with his foot.
If you actually look at it, he went a little above and beyond. I mean, first off, he walked away, was screaming, F you to John, F you, F this, flipped him off, and then ran across the cage and push-kicked him away from Bigfoot.
It wasn't violent, but it was definitely something to get his attention and let him know, like, hey, dude, I'm really mad at you right now.
Which, Roy Nelson, for being in the sport as long as he has been, this was a really novice mistake. I mean, this is something you don't do. You don't put your hands on an official.
No, you don't.
And I mean,
well, maybe his
excuse
is I didn't. I put my foot on him.
Well, see,
I mean, Roy's a smart guy.
You don't. No, he is.
If he's under oath, he says, "I never laid a hand on me, Your Honor."
Either way, you don't act like that inside this. I mean, if you have a problem, I understand. You go get in his face and say, "Dude, come on, what are you doing? Why are you, why am I hitting him with these right hands that could potentially hurt him a great deal?"
Well, but in the interview afterwards, when he said, like, well, I could have done the Mark Hunt and just done the walk away or something.
It's not like we don't know that Bigfoot Silva has a glass jaw now.
Now, did you guys think the fight was stopped too late? I thought it was a hair late myself, but McCarthy still claims that he was giving Bigfoot Silva a chance because he didn't think he was out and he didn't see his eyes glassed over.
Listen, not a single fighter, in all honesty, should ever question Big John McCarthy. The guy has been in the cage longer than any of you have been.
Even if he makes a mistake, it happens. Everybody
does. And usually it's fights being stopped too soon.
Too soon, yes.
And, I mean, there are referees out there. I mean, I remember watching a Joe Warren fight where I got up and I was screaming at the TV to stop it. It was against...
was it Chandler?
No. Pat, I don't know why I'm blanking on his last name.
We'll look it up.
Pat Curran. Pat Curran beat him so badly and was just unanswered shot after unanswered shot. It was brutal. I got up and screamed. I was like, stop the fight. I felt like Adrian, in like Rocky. Stop, he's done. But John McCarthy knows what he's doing.
Yes.
And I think Bigfoot Silva, I don't think the fight was stopped a hair late. I don't think it was stopped too early. I think it was stopped right on time.
Like I say, I could see it maybe being a hair late, but not. And like the first punch that he threw when he was down, I didn't see a problem with that. And we have seen guys. We've seen Fabricio Verdun take a pounding and come back on fighters. We've seen Frank Mir. We've seen Nogueira just. I mean, the guy was hit by a truck and he still kept that going. So nothing's going to stop him. So we have seen this before. So that's why I would say that. He was given an opportunity. He was looking right at him. He didn't see the eyes looking like he had no idea where he was, so he let the fight continue. If Roy Nelson was that upset about it, then he shouldn't hit him.
No, he shouldn't. No,
exactly. There's no way he should have hit
him. And the flip side of that is, then if Bigfoot's not hurt and he comes back and finishes him, then maybe Roy would have said, well, maybe I should have hit him again or whatever. But I agree with you. A guy like John McCarthy, yeah, you're friends and that kind of stuff, but every single person that gets in that cage knows when they get in there, you fight till it's stopped.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's one of those things when you look at Roy Nelson, and like I said, this guy has been around the – he's smart enough to know better. And we've seen fighters –
yes, he has.
We have seen fighters lose their job for pulling things like that. Casey Bandit.
Okay? Yeah, there you go.
He was immediately released.
Yeah.
What do you think happens with Roy?
I think he's got to get at least fined and maybe some kind of suspension. Now, I don't know how long of a suspension because I don't know how long it would be before he fights again anyway.
Yeah, he's got to get in trouble. He's got to get fined, number one. Suspended, well, I mean, he fights once a year. If
that's what I'm saying. I mean, what is this? Is a suspension something that you just throw in there to make it sound worse?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you're suspended for 6 months.
I don't think it's an offense to get rid of him. I mean, because you really, it wasn't a Paul Daly thing where he just swung and hit him.
Well, that was hitting another fighter after, like, what Paul Daly did, too, was another thing. That was crossing the line. But still, it's after the bell. You don't put your hands on another fighter. You don't put your hands on...
And it is with McCarthy's back turn, too. Although it was just a push kick, and it wasn't really violent. It wasn't
there to
do damage.
No, it wasn't like he went over there and was like, this is Sparta. But it's McCarthy.
He's a referee. You don't touch him.
And the irony is, at that time is when Big John is actually checking to make sure that Bigfoot Silva is okay. Roy's so concerned about that he tries to kick the ref at that time frame.
Absolutely.
Now, see how stupid does that sound? I mean, come on, Roy. He knows better.
You're better than that, man.
Yeah, he is. And, I mean, because I love the interview that you did with him way back when he was the IFL champion. Now, mind you were a champion at one time there, Roy. Don't stop thinking. I'm sorry. Do things correctly. You know how to do them. This is ridiculous how you acted. It was very, buffoonerish? Can I use that word?
You can use whatever word you want. I mean, is it a word? I don't know.
I don't know, but it's just, it was ridiculous how he acted. You know, my 7-year-old acts better than that.
Wait. Let's go back to that word, though. Buffoonish or buffoonerish? What'd you say?
Buffoonery.
Well, if it's not buffoonery, all right, if it's not a word, it definitely should be.
Yeah,
it definitely should be. Another big thing happened this week. We had the UFC 205 press conference in New York. We got the fight. The fans got the fight that they were hoping for in Conor versus Eddie. And, man, it really is the Conor McGregor show. That guy, I mean, he is just a soundbite waiting to happen. But, I mean, he runs everything. He is. I know Dana White has gone out there and he has said that there's no doubt about it. Ronda Rousey is a bigger star than Conor McGregor. I don't agree with that at all.
I don't either.
I do not.
Conor McGregor calls the shots. And then you just see where Conor McGregor said that he's worth like $4.2 billion?
He said that he would be making $40 million this year. And, I mean, that's another thing that I love watching. And I know Armando hates when he throws the race into it. And, you know, it's today's society, unfortunately, it is. And race baiting's happening all over the place. But Conor is a whiz.
Nate Diaz, what has he done?
Conor is a whiz on the microphone.
What besides shoot off at the mouth? He hasn't, I mean, he...
What?
Look, do you remember that fight that we... it was Anderson and Nick Diaz when we were sitting there. And he walked into the crowd, and the crowd just went berserk. I mean, like, you know, that God himself had just walked into the arena, and I'm like, why?
Same thing. You know, God, Conor, it's the same thing.
No, why? He hadn't done anything at that point. It's right now. He just lost the fight 2 fights ago. Why is he? Who is he? Why is he this big? Why does everybody sit there just because he goes in a press conference and acts like an idiot? I don't get this.
I believe he did knock out a legend in like almost
seconds.
Record time.
13 seconds he knocked out Aldo. Okay. By the way, he's possibly retiring.
And
he does sell a ton of tickets. He does get a lot of press, and he's brought the UFC into places that they haven't been before.
Yeah. Again, three. I'm talking of the in top, the octagon.
Three of the top five selling grossing UFCs of all time.
My question is why?
Because
I don't. I'm not. Obviously, look, I was more excited to see.
He's obviously a star. He is a star. You have
for
that,
acting foolish. For acting,
it doesn't
mean, for
matter why
mouth,
you're a star. You're
for
a
saying
star.
For saying something, you know, you're a Brazilian cab driver. That's or whatever whatever insults that he put. No. I refuse to be a fan of this guy that way.
I don't know.
I can't stand it.
After you have that comment the other night, and I do know we have to take a break, and before we do, I just want to get to this and then one quick real thing. But The other day when Jeremy Stevens makes that comment about, like, when someone asks Connor, and that's what it is. It's Connor gets every question and then everybody else gets the feed off. It's the Connor show.
Yes.
And they ask Connor, you know, and his reaction time is what's so perfect. You know, who out there would give you the toughest fight? Jeremy Stevens, seeing what Connor McGregor has been doing, and says, okay, my time to shine right now. My time to make my presence known. And then he says, it's me. I'm the hardest hitting 145er out there. When I hit people, they stay asleep. They don't move. And then Connor turning around and look at him and say, who the F is this guy? I mean, just it's the timing. It's everything. People are saying it's superstar Billy Graham, Muhammad Ali, tied into one. You've got that pro wrestling type etiquette where he's doing cutting promos all the time. He's Chael Sonnen, but knows how to fight. That's what it is, and that's why he is as good as he is.
And to make both of you guys happy, I'll use the wrestling analogy. His mic skills are impeccable, and that sells tickets. That gets him in everywhere. And you don't. You said you don't. You refuse to be a fan of his. You don't have to be a fan of his. Half the people that saw Muhammad Ali box, half of them were fans, and half of them hated his guts. But they all went to see him. Conor McGregor is that in the UFC. Half the people can't stand him.
He's, but they the do UFC's Floyd pay Mayweather? To see is that him. What we're saying?
If Floyd and him ever did have a fight, trash talking that would go on, yes, I think it'd be a joke. I think we all agree on that.
Yes.
But would it sell tickets and would it have the entire world buzzing? Yes, it would. Absolutely.
Don't agree with that.
Hate all you want, man. Don't be a hater.
We do have to take a break now. I know we're running late.
Yep, we do. It is the weekend kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. And we'll be back with a little we'll take a look back and we'll see what else is going on as well. Big NFL week, college football, lots more to get to.
Vegas Discount Nutrition are the premier nutrition stores in Las Vegas. All of our superstores carry vitamins, supplements, proteins, and weight loss health food for all your supplement needs at below online and wholesale pricing. Vegas Discount Nutrition is the only wholesale outlet in the state, providing a massive $1 million inventory for you to choose from, all at 30 to 60% off retail prices. Our three superstores are the highest rated and most reviewed nutrition stores in the USA, according to Yelp and Facebook. The entire Vegas Discount Nutrition staff are certified nutritionist, knowledgeable, and friendly. They will help you with all your health, fitness, and supplement needs. If you're looking to lose weight, gain muscle, or just maintain a healthy body, come and see why all the professional athletes and entertainers shop here. Our number one goal is your 100% complete satisfaction. Stop in today to get your free samples and see why we are rated the number one nutrition stores in the USA. Visit any one of Vegas Discount Nutrition's three convenient superstore locations, Eastern and Silverado Ranch, 215 in Flamingo, or 215 in North Decatur.
Welcome back. It is the weekend kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. Ballpark Frank, Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez. Big T out making money and doing important stuff to make sure that we stay on the air. And guys, we got a lot more to get to here. But Phil, I know you wanted to talk about something you kind of mentioned at the top of the show here. And it is a sad developing story right now in MMA. And you know, MMA, it is a big close-knit community, regardless of what organization or whatever out there. But when something happens, you know, we all hope for the best, but, you know, things happen, and I don't know exactly what's happening right now. I don't know if anybody does, but it doesn't look good.
No, things, you know, they are still up in the air. No one really knows what's going on, and, you know, you don't want to make assumptions, but UFC fighter Josh Shamon yesterday morning was found unresponsive in his apartment with another person. That person, a friend of his, a guy who actually did the fight announcing for Josh's own organization, which I believe it was called Combat Night, which he ran down in Florida, the announcer, he was found dead. And Josh is in the hospital in critical condition, from what I understand. I don't know why there are people out there making assumptions about a drug overdose, and you don't want to make those assumptions, but Josh has had a troubled past. For those people who don't know who Josh Shamon is, he was on The Ultimate Fighter. I think it was Team Sonnen against Team Jones. Made a name for himself. I actually remember watching that season and not liking Josh Shamon at all. And that's one of those things about The Ultimate Fighter. You know, this perception of what that person is like. Because, you know, you don't know what really goes on and how the editing is. But this was a guy that watching the show, I didn't like him. I thought he was arrogant. I didn't think he was as good as he thought he was. But then after the show, when you actually, I got to talk to him, I've gotten to interview him, and Josh Chaman's a great man. He really is one of the true kind souls in this sport. One of those guys that would do anything for you. And I mean, I don't know if you also know his story about his girlfriend. Josh last year wrote a book called The Housekeeper, Love, Death, and Prize Fighting. And Josh Chaman's girlfriend, two or three years ago, was killed in a car accident. And it just absolutely just destroyed his life.
Devastated him.
It devastated. This was his life. In the book, Josh talked about his addiction problems in the past. He talked about his love for his girlfriend. That was what it was about. You know, and you got to see a different side of this guy. And all I can say is I hope for the best. I wish nothing but
a
speedy recovery to Josh. And just I hope nothing but the best during this time for his family, because it is a horrible situation.
And I do want to touch on one other thing that you mentioned there, too, when you were talking about the Ultimate Fighter show. And we've all watched several seasons of it. I'm watching it again this year. You know, it maybe not with the same vigor that I did when it first started out. But the editing in that is incredible, because they can do whatever they want. I have met so many of those fighters right after or years after the performance, and guys that I thought were total a-holes when I'm watching the show. You meet, like you said, they're the coolest people. And some of the guys that you really liked on the show, you're like, hey, maybe that guy isn't so cool after all. So if you edit it right, you can make anybody, when you have cameras on them 24/7, you can make anybody look awesome or look like a real piece of garbage.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's amazing. It really is. Because I've talked to guys in The Ultimate Fighter who, when they talk about what's actually going on the season now, they're like, that's what was on last night's episode? Because that was like 4 weeks before the actual fight. So things are always out of order.
Well, and another thing,
people don't realize that.
And another thing they'll do sometime, they'll pick one of the camps and it makes it look like this one camp gets everybody under the sun, all these ex-fighters and MMA people and legends come in, and then you never see anybody in the other camp. And then you talk to some of the fighters there or the guys that were the coach, and they go, no, we had people in every time too. They just never showed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the power of TV, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the power of TV, but we do wish Josh the best. I hope everything does turn out all right. And, you know, we've been talking about The Ultimate Fighter and how I have not been watching it this season. Well, let me tell you something. I watched half the episode on Wednesday night.
What?
Well, Armando,
Was Gotham off the air this week?
Gotham is Monday nights.
Oh, it's Monday nights. I'm sorry.
It was Mr. Robot season finale a week ago. So I was free after the first hour of South Park, and I did watch The Ultimate Fighter. And hell of a fight.
Yes,
really
so
was
yes.
A hell of a fight.
There's
that
been
was,
some
that
good
was a
fights
lot of
this
fun.
Season. There's been some good, and they got some good fighters in the house this year.
They're champions from other divisions.
from all over the world, not just other divisions, but organizations literally all over the world.
I know you two have been trying to convince me that this season was good and to watch it, but you know, I don't believe anything that comes out of your mouth, Armando. So, Frank, I'm still learning with you.
Yes,
but yeah,
you
I'm starting to think you do speak the truth.
I've been speaking the truth about the Saints.
You've heard me talk about my Bears and other things like that. You know, even though I like somebody, if they suck, I'm kind of honest about it. So,
let's actually get into some football, because we do have
college, my Boise State Broncos.
Well,
they're out for revenge tonight.
You're looking forward. Okay, so what other you looking forward to Boise State? Anything else today?
What do you mean? Boise State needs some revenge from last year, because they lost to the Utah State. So they're going to the blue today. So they're going to get. Matt.
All right. Okay. Yeah,
at least, but no.
Isn't that the Smurf turf?
Is that the official name of it?
That was 30 years ago.
I think that's what they called it 30 years ago.
We don't call it
the Smurf turf.
No. That's ridiculous.
Did you ever call it that?
They did. No. They had, that was their advertising at the beginning. Radio shows would always come up with their little songs and use that phrase, or Smurf turf. That was the first 5 years, but then. After that, it was
because nothing strikes fear into an opponent like come to the Smurf turf.
I mean, seriously, you're wearing your Boise State shirt today.
That's
you
right.
Can lay down on that field and not see you. You'd be camouflaged.
Today, yes, you're right.
You'd be totally camouflaged.
Now, does that mean this week you're gonna stand for the national anthem since you're wearing that shirt instead of the one you wore last week?
No, I don't turn the TV on until afterwards.
Oh, okay. You know, it's funny that you bring up the national anthem, and you know, earlier when we were at break, you were talking about how Armando made the. a big point to let me know that I shouldn't worry about the Saints loss on Monday night because it was the lowest rated Monday night football game ever. No one saw it. No one watched Raw either on Monday night because everyone was watching the debate. But
right, they wanted the three-ring circus instead of the other ones that they see every week.
The thing is that NFL ratings are actually down across the board this year. They're pretty bad. They're not bad, but I mean, they're taking a dip. Do you think it has anything to do with the national anthem and people seeing this going on and they're like, you know what, we're not going to watch your product anymore? Or do you think this is probably years of accumulation where people looking at the NFL and the way that they've handled things like Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, you know, that maybe the people don't want to give it the attention anymore?
You know, that's a good question. My guess would be that there are a lot of other alternatives, although there has been for years and years. But I think a lot of people now, they don't want to commit to sitting down and watching something three and a half, 4 hours long. People, attention spans aren't that much. People, even women, I mean, as a guy, I always used to say I'm a guy, so I channel surf all the time. I'll watch this and I'll flip on that during commercials, this, that, and the other stuff. But I think more and more people are doing that. I you know, it used to be must-see TV, but now you have NFL Thursday night and Sunday and then Sunday night and then Monday night. And then you have the college games on. Oh, there's a game on Thursday at the same time as the NFL. Then we have a Friday night game every week. Then there's the Saturday action. Pretty soon we'll start having the Tuesday and Wednesday too when the Mac is there. So maybe it's oversaturation because it's there all the time. And if people aren't, you know, people are going, well, I don't really have a gigantic stake in this game here, so.
Mark Cuban had said that a couple of years ago, that the NFL was oversaturating the market.
Kind of like we've heard people talk about MMA and that, when it's like there's too many UFC cards, and then you also have a World Series of Fighting and Bellator, this, that, and the other. Even diehard MMA fans, I know a lot of them that consider themselves diehard, that back off from a lot of the events now because there's just too much.
I actually did a little bit last week. No. I did a little bit last week. I did not watch the entire Brazil card. I didn't. I think I turned it on with the main event of the prelims.
That is astounding to
me. And
you
want to know what? Tonight, there's a UFC card. Uh-huh. I won't be watching live.
No, neither will I.
Watching live.
Not with the Boise State game's on.
Yeah, now it's and not that tonight's UFC card is at all bad. I think it's actually a hell of a main event. I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, but
I've got plans. So I'm going to WWE event.
So you're going So you're going to WWE, but you're going to the truck races?
No, I'm not going to the truck races. I would love to go, but I'm.
So the family's going, but you're not?
I don't know.
So why can't? So what are you doing?
I'm plotting myself on the couch with a couple of tall boys, and I'm going to watch the Boise State game.
Okay, so you're missing the Boise State games tonight.
Yes.
Okay, so you'll be missing the UFC for the Boise State game.
Yes, yes.
Okay, I'm going to the WWE event over the Thomas and Mack Center. I know.
Like I said, this is a revenge game. This is something that I've been looking forward to. I want to get.
I want to get into tonight's UFC card, and I know we're running late, but
as always,
you know. And
quick question:
What?
Did Heidi have to stay for the whole game last night, the high school football game?
She certainly did.
She did, right?
Triple overtime.
I did not want to go to bed until that game was over last
night.
I actually watched the thing on ESPN2, or ESPNU.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking of Bishop Gorman.
It's crazy. Bishop Gorman, now they've been a power for years and years, but you turn on SportsCenter and it's like the lead story, basically.
Yeah.
Here's these two high school football teams. And I will say this for Bishop Gorman. They play everybody they can before they have to play the teams here in Las Vegas. And that's not a slight on the teams in Las Vegas, but they know that they're not going to get national recognition from them, and they will travel all over to play these teams. And what a program they have built.
Oh, yeah.
And with Tony Sanchez going over to UNLV, his brother's going, thanks a lot. Thanks for giving me the keys. He's driving the car. This might be the best team they've ever had. And they've had some phenomenal teams.
Yeah, it's kind of cool when you get those high school teams like a Gorman, like if you look back east, Don Bosco Prep. I mean, just absolute powerhouses.
Well, say John Bosco where Rosen went, and Bishop Gorman actually beat them a couple times. And there are some really good teams and ones that are always right there.
I don't know if you turned the game on at all, but last night, this team was from Florida. Michael Irvin's kid or cousin, somebody was in there playing, and his reaction.
Usually that's what happens in a football game.
His reaction to a touchdown scored in this game was incredible. This guy seemed like he was in the play. He was playing. I mean, Michael Irvin is on the field by the end zone dancing like crazy, going nuts. And I'm like, are you serious?
You got Michael Irvin dancing on the sideline, yeah. Snoop Dogg smoking a blunt.
No, that was last year. This year it was Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav was there when Snoop Dogg was there too. He just didn't get as much press because Snoop Dogg's son was playing on the team.
Yeah. But Flavor Flav has a son that plays basketball for Bishop Gorman. But he was at the football game last night.
Oh, he's always at the football games.
Yeah, yeah.
He's at pretty much every one of them.
Nice.
He even wrote some little song or something like that for him that they play before some of the games in that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Right. Oh, no. They are big, big, big Bishop Gorman supporters.
Nice. Very nice.
You looking forward to any college games today, Frank?
Well, I'm looking to forward to Ohio State getting back after having a bye week. I still don't understand why you have a bye week after 3 weeks of the season. Then you take a bye before the Rutgers game. Take the bye before Michigan State or Michigan or somebody.
Rest up.
When it's going to mean something. Why the hell did they take a bye before Rutgers? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me.
Do they make the schedule?
But you know what? Urban Meyer knows more than I do, so I'm going to trust it. In Urban, we trust. But I just, not crazy. The bye week before that?
Yeah, bye week this week for the NFL. First bye week, we got your Packers. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. I'm just kidding.
My most hated team in the NFL.
The Packers and the Eagles are off. We also got the London game this week. So tomorrow is early rise and shine if you're going to watch football all day. If it's going to be, if you plan on catching all the games, 6:30 kickoff. 6:30 a.m. kickoff tomorrow.
I did that for today. The London I'm not doing game. That tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's the Colts and the on the not winning a game Jaguars.
But Jacksonville, when they first said they wanted to go to London, Jacksonville said, we'll go there every year
for you. Oh, it's a home team. It's a home game for them.
I have always felt that when Khan bought the team, that he wanted to be the team from the NFL that moved to London. He has a bunch of businesses over there in Europe. It's a perfect fit for him. And he wanted to ingratiate himself with that community. I've always thought that they were the team, if anybody was going to move, that it would be Jacksonville.
Yeah, Well, it's their what? Is their fourth?
Yeah.
Is it the fourth time over there? And the London fans seem to have taken to them. You know, maybe it's because they're horrible, but I don't know, man. The Jaguars.
Maybe because it's the only NFL team that scores fewer than their soccer teams do.
They're on point, right? It's just like, oh, so, you know.
No, you did not say that,
games
Frank.
Games end 3-0.
That is the world's biggest sport.
He's actually got a point, because if you look at the Jaguars coming into this season, all we talked about was how it was their defense that needed to pick it up, because with Blake Bortles, everything, they looked good. Their offense looked like it was going to produce something this year, but it's not producing anything, anything at all.
They sell out the stadium. And they sell out every boxing match. They sell out every MMA event that goes. Right now, they're spending money for everything, so it's...
Well, I'd like to see what T.Y. Hilton does tomorrow in London. That guy actually, like, he woke up last week and had an amazing game.
I didn't know it was the Colts, so I got to get up and watch that.
Yeah, it's Colts, Jags in London tomorrow.
Andrew Luck is my quarterback in fantasy.
You know, I got to actually, I know we are always running late, but, you know, I'm pulling for tomorrow. I'm really pulling for Cleveland. I mean,
wow.
This is a team, you know, we talked about it and we had Tom Barton on and he says they ain't winning any games. I'd be surprised if they win two games this season. They definitely ain't winning more than four. But I mean, they're on their third string rookie quarterback. You've got Terrell Pryor running, passing, receiving. They're all over the place. They've got everything going against them, but they seem to be in
every game.
Every game last week against Miami, and we know Miami's bad, but it went into overtime on the road. That was a game that Miami was supposed to walk away with, but no, it didn't happen. So, and you know, Crowell right now is the number two rushing rusher in the NFL. I mean, he's really looking good. This team has the makings of a possible winning unit. I'm really pulling for them, but you know, they've got a lot going with, you know, going against them, going into Washington with Cody Kessler. I don't know.
There's a couple of games I'm curious. I mean, real quick, and I know we are up against it. Buffalo, New England, I want to see who's playing quarterback. Is anybody going to be in there? are we going to see Edelman this week actually get in there and have to take some snaps because we don't know what's going on? And I am looking forward to this Monday night with the Giants and the Vikings. Not that I think the Giants are a great team, but Minnesota is my one hope for somebody to beat the nasty team from the frozen tundra.
That's off this
and
week.
Their defense is incredible.
Insane.
So, but they got to quit getting people hurt every time they take the field.
That's insane.
You know, and I'm looking forward to that defensive struggle that we're going to see with Seattle and the Jets. Because, I mean, this is like caveman talk. Seattle defense, good. Ryan Fitzpatrick, bad.
No.
Ryan Fitzpatrick in trouble. Seattle offensive line, bad. Jets
real
defense,
bad.
Good. This is Russell Wilson in trouble.
All right.
San Francisco and Dallas, sorry.
Oh, we're also mentioning games that nobody gives a damn about.
San Francisco.
San Francisco, but I thought you were a Rams fan. Since you're giving me 30 seconds, I have family coming into town, and I remember who are Cowboys fans. And I remember when the whole world was shut down when San Francisco played Dallas. I know you guys remember this because nothing – I mean, it was all about that game back in the 90s.
Yeah, T.O. was either dissing the star or playing for the star. I mean, it's – what the hell?
No, but I mean, that's – but I have family coming into town, so that's what's going to be fun about it.
All right, and it'll be fun when we come back. We're going to talk about UFC Fight Night. It is going on, and not one, not two, but three fighters overweight, giving up some of their money. They can give it to me. I can use it. It is the Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition.
Vegas Discount Nutrition are the premier nutrition stores in Las Vegas. All of our superstores carry vitamins, supplements, proteins, and weight loss health food for all your supplement needs at below online and wholesale pricing. Vegas Discount Nutrition is the only wholesale outlet in the state, providing a massive $1 million inventory for you to choose from, all at 30 to 60% off retail prices. Our three superstores are the highest rated and most reviewed nutrition stores in the USA, according to Yelp and Facebook. The entire Vegas Discount Nutrition staff are certified nutritionists, knowledgeable, and friendly. They will help you with all your health, fitness, and supplement needs. If you're looking to lose weight, gain muscle, or just maintain a healthy body, come and see why all the professional athletes and entertainers shop here. Our number one goal is your 100% complete satisfaction. Stop in today to get your free samples and see why we are rated the number one nutrition stores in the USA. Visit any one of Vegas Discount Nutrition's three convenient superstore locations, Eastern and Silverado Ranch, 215 in Flamingo, or 215 in North Decatur.
All right, final go around here. It is the Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, Ballpark Frank, Armando Vasquez, Phil Devine. And guys, we got a little fight card going on tonight, but is the food up there in Portland that good? Because it seems like a lot of guys couldn't push themselves away from the table. Three fighters overweight. One of them 5.5 pounds over.
Yeah, Cowboy, 5.5 pounds overweight. And John Lineker, the guy in the main event, did not make weight again. This is the fifth time.
Ugh. So close.
Fifth time. He missed it by 0.5 pound, but he still missed it. This is the fifth time it's done it in the UFC career. Not good, obviously. But also people talk about stepping up to the table. What about all these new people in charge of the UFC? Or actually not in charge, but investors. New UFC investors. Did you see this list of guys?
Are they really investors? Or since they all seem to be from the organization that just bought them, is this a little spiff that they're giving these guys as part of their contracts
or something? I think that's what it is. I think they offered it to them.
That's what it sounds like to me. It's like, okay, you're investors as part of, we're going to give you a piece of this, that, or the other. And there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them. And you got to think, this is a good thing for the UFC as far as bringing the name out for other people who may not. And you got to understand, I mean, you mentioned it earlier. Mixed martial arts is a community, and it is not the biggest community. It's rising. You do have your nonchalant fan, but you do have your hardcores as well. But I mean,
me.
Obviously not if you're watching the Boise State.
Oh, but this is different.
But, you know, we talked about your list of A-listers. We got Ben Affleck, Sylvester Stallone, Matt Damon, Conan O'Brien.
I thought some were interesting. Maria Sharapova? She can't play tennis, but she's investing in the UFC now.
And the Williams sisters, too.
Now, does Maria Sharapova, is she suspended at the start for doing the wrong stuff?
Hey, listen, she may be the next Ronda Rousey. I mean, we may see her taking on Ronda. That might be the fight to get Ronda back.
She might be the next Cyborg because she was suspended at one time, too, so I'm not sure.
I would love to see her
leave
get in
there.
Leave
it to Frank.
I would. Wait, wouldn't you love to?
Oh, heck yeah.
I would pay to see that because I bet you with a little training she'd do better than CM Punk. Which, by the way, how funny
that's
was that?
That's not very difficult.
CM Punk yesterday tweeting out something like, so Ben Affleck is my new boss? I certainly hope not. I certainly hope you're not fighting the UFC again.
Yeah. How dare somebody come to this organization that's not qualified to be here?
A little James Toney.
Wait. Yeah.
So anyway, tonight UFC, Fight Night in Portland, main event, John Dodson against John Lineker, two former flyweights, now bantamweights. We know John Lineker moved up to bantamweight because he was forced to, told to, because he missed weight four times going into flyweight.
Oops.
Now his third fight or fourth fight at bantamweight, he's missing weight again. Not good.
No, that's one way to show him. You can make me move up what you want. I'm still not making weight.
Huh? I'm still not going
to
make weight.
Don't tell me what to do.
What? 135? Yeah, right.
You're taking 20% of my purse regardless of what weight you put me in.
I don't want this money. You take it. You take it.
The co-main event, the guy's not, that Alex Olivier, it didn't make weight either?
Yeah.
Poor Will Brooks.
That's another guy, you know, who is more suited for 170. He's such a big dude. You actually see him fighting at 170, but he's a 155 naturally, which I don't understand. I mean, you're not naturally a 155 if you don't make weight.
Exactly. 161 and a half. He missed it by the biggest amount.
He said, screw it. Like, halfway through, he was just like, you know what?
It's like, you know what? I'm not going to make this. They're taking 20% of my purse. I'm going to make them earn it.
Let's remember something. Anthony Johnson was fired from the UFC for missing weight for a third time. So, you know, I'm surprised. I don't know what's going to happen with Lineker. But see, here's the thing with Lineker. And just like Anthony Johnson, too. So, actually, the UFC's got nothing to back this up if they don't do something about it. John Lineker is a monster in there. I mean, this dude, he will knock you out, and so is Dodson. Dodson's another guy that has got absolute knockout power for such a small guy, and he's so fast. He was so fast at flyweight, he's even faster at bantamweight with going up against bigger guys. This is going to be a fight that you don't want to miss. Now, neither guy has ever been knocked out, which is going to be funny because that's both their strong points. You got Lineker, who in his last five fight, he's finished three of them. John Dodson has been in the UFC for quite a while. I think it was Ultimate Fighter Season 14. I think he's 7-2 in the UFC, and out of those seven wins, he's got five knockouts. So this is a guy who's definitely got it on his resume that he's going to put you to sleep. This is a fight I would not blink during. I would not blink during it at all. Anything you guys looking forward to in tonight's card? Because this is the only fight that I look at besides the main event of the Fight Pass card.
Which, Nate Marquardt
and Tandon McCrory. That's the fight I'm actually looking forward to most, aside from the Dodson fight. But I know you're a big fan of Bellator's former champ.
Yes, so Will Brooks.
Will Brooks coming in, and he's taking on Cowboy Oliveira, who didn't make weight. But this is an interesting fight, too, because, you know, Brooks obviously got that wrestling background, going to look to grind out a decision win. But
I need him to look good so he could get a bigger fight now.
And, you know, listen, not for nothing, but I know it was the UFC debut, but he was expected to do a lot more against Ross Pearson, and Ross made that a fight.
Well, it's Ross Pearson.
True.
Come on. Those of us that know him, I was impressed that, you know, both of them. It was good. It was a great fight that night.
Yeah, I'm always curious to see what a guy like Josh Berkman, you know, a veteran guy like that, what he's going to look like and what he's going to do on a card.
Yeah, Josh Berkman, always fun to watch.
He needs a W.
He does need a W. But, the fight, like, this is a fight card where we've talked about with that oversaturation. I'm just, you know, I don't need to have my entire Saturday spent watching this card. I'll DVR it. I'll watch it in fast forward a little later. But that Dodson fight is going to be fun. It really is going to be fun.
And we'll all be doing different stuff tonight. You'll be checking out WWE. You'll be watching Boise State, and I'll be channel surfing all the different football games.
Yeah, you got to love Saturdays for that, too. Sunday, that's my Sunday. Sunday, I wake up. I go to the gym first thing in the morning. I get up as early as possible, go to the gym, and I'm back home on my couch at 10 a.m., and I just sit in front of the TV. Got to have the NFL football package, and I got eight games going up at once. This is my one reason why I actually like the bye weeks coming in, because I actually get to see all the games on the screen. Usually you get one or two that are pulled off the screen you don't get to see. But I'm looking forward to that. And I want to talk really quickly. Fight just got canceled. I don't know if you heard. Gustafson.
Yes, I did.
Is out of his fight. I'm a little, that's That's definitely rough.
That's rough. Well, and then, but I kind of think it would be great for Little Nog. I mean, he gets try to get revenge against Ryan Bader. So
yeah, I don't see that happening me neither. At all. Not one bit. And no. Then, you know, I'm really looking forward to, we are 1 week away from the revenge. You talk about revenge with Boise State. We're talking revenge from UFC 100. Dan Henderson getting his title shot next week against Michael Bisping. I can't wait to start talking about that one.
Yes.
All right, guys, real quick. We got 30 seconds left here. Any surprise whatsoever that McGregor's only coming in at like a minus 125 favorite?
Listen, no. I'm not surprised at all. This is a pick'em fight. This is just like Dodson.
I think it's a pick'em in the fight. Cage, but with the popularity, I thought it might be a little higher just because the money might come in.
I think after what they saw at Eddie Alvarez's ability, I think the books are now a little bit more aware.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Have yourself a great weekend. It's the Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio. We'll talk to you next Saturday.